First Chronicles chapter 16. Verses 8 through 36 is our text today. And I want to speak about making known God's praise among the peoples. And really, my whole purpose today is simply to give an expression of thankfulness to God for all of His wonderful works. First Chronicles 16, we enter into the story. There's a huge throng of people pushed into Jerusalem for what was probably the most important religious event since they had entered the Promised Land over four centuries before. For over 400 years now, they had been in the land that God had promised to them, and yet they had not fully been able to implement all of God's plan for how they would relate to Him, how they would worship Him, how He would be their God and they would be with Him as His people. God had anointed King David, and he had pitched a tent in Jerusalem for the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark being the premier symbol of God's presence with His people, that one piece of furniture in the Holy of Holy Places where God would manifest His presence, His glory among His people. And now David was bringing the Ark to come to rest in the tent in the city that God had chosen, Jerusalem. God was taking His place at the heart of the nation, and this called for a celebration. So a great Levitical choir and a great Levitical orchestra, or band we might call them, consisting of trumpets and harps and lyres, pardon me, sang and played loudly as the procession wound its way up the hill of Jerusalem. The priests carried the ark on their shoulders. The people shouted their joy. King David himself joined the procession wearing a linen ephod, the garment of a priest, dancing and rejoicing with all of his might before the Lord. Now, when the ark was safely deposited there in Jerusalem in the tent, they offered up burnt offerings, whole burnt offerings, signifying entire sacrifice of themselves to the Lord. And peace offerings, fellowship offerings, by which they would offer to the Lord and then sit down and enjoy a meal, which said, we have fellowship together with God. He has accepted us. He is with us as our God. And then David appointed Asaph and his brethren to praise the Lord there continually before the ark, before the tent, the tabernacle there in the city of Jerusalem. They were to invoke, thank, and praise the Lord, the scripture says. And now the man who wrote Chronicles, the chronicler we sometimes call him, who may have been Ezra, the priest who came back from the exile back to Israel, he records for us their thanksgiving in our text today, which takes excerpts from three psalms. You see, Psalms 105, verses 1 through 15, are the first part of what we read here in Chronicles chapter 16. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 13 are the second part of what we read here in Chronicles chapter 16. And then Psalm 106, verse 1, and then verses 47 and 48 form the last part of the praise that Asaph offered with his brethren before the Lord here on this occasion. Each part of this great song that David appointed to be sung, this great song of thanks, has a particular emphasis. So in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 through 22, which corresponds to Psalm 105, the Lord our God keeps His covenant with His people. Verses 23 through 33, so the Lord our God is the sovereign creator over all nature, nations, and their gods. He is sovereign over all. And then verses 34 through 36, to close it out, the Lord our God is full of goodness and steadfast love. Therefore, He saves His people for the glory of His name. And what I want to do today is simply use this praise as our inspiration to tell of the Lord's wondrous works. He saves us with the result that we praise His name. Let me just draw your attention, in fact, to the last few verses of this song of praise, beginning in verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Say also, skipping now to the end of Psalm 106. Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Save us, O God of our salvation. This praise closes with this petition. Why? Gather us, deliver us. Why? What's the result of God saving and delivering? When He delivers His people, what do? They praise Him. They give thanks to His holy name. They glory in His praise. What we're going to do today is simply take time to do that. We've already begun to do that. But I want to take an opportunity to do that in the sermon here together today. And this will be a little bit different sermon than many sermons. In most sermons, we usually expect something like, well, here's what the Scripture says, so here's our problem, and here's how we need to fix it. Here's how God's Word teaches us to change something in our lives. And that's good. We need to apply the Scriptures. It is profitable for that kind of correction. But instead today, I'm not going to identify anything wrong. I simply want to attempt to obey the command that's given here, give thanks to the Lord. That's the instruction. Give thanks. Praise Him for all the good things that He's accomplishing, that He is doing. See His goodness. Glory in it. I want to draw your attention to that. I want to draw your attention to all the wonderful works that God has done and is doing right now in the world. For I fear that we too often forget it. And we become blind to it, insensitive to it. I want to draw your attention to all the goodness and steadfast love of the Lord that surrounds you everywhere you look, so that you will leave here today blessing the Lord. I'm going to start with this first part of this sermon, looking at God's revelation of Himself as Creator and Sustainer of all. The song that the psalmist that Asaph and his friends sang says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. So let's do that. You look out this morning and you watch the sunrise. And as you do that, you see the light begin to paint the mountain peaks pink. And you begin to see the ineffable beauty of light. God shining on His creation. The Creator who is light making that known through the creation of the sun. You watch the sun traverse the sky, running its race. You feel its heat. You watch it begin to finish its race for the day in a blaze of glory. And then the stars come out. And you look on them in their seemingly infinite expanse of the heavens. You see the moon quietly keeping time for us, reflecting the light of the sun, gently pulling, exerting its influence on the tides and influencing our earth. You see, all these things are praising their Maker and participating in the great work that He is doing in sustaining this world. You see the animals and the creatures that He has made to inhabit this world. He formed it and filled it. I've enjoyed watching just around our house the animals that God has made. And not just our own chickens scratching in the yard, but three bird families that I know of on the church property here this year that nested and reared their young, watching them grow up and begin to fly. And one of them was even a crow. Do you call crows families? Never thought of crows having families. But I watched them have a council out here on the yard one day, enjoying life that the Creator is abundantly providing for them. The rabbits that we have in abundance around here, enjoying them seeing come out as little rabbits and getting bigger and bigger rabbits. Coming out especially in the mornings and the evenings and running all over the property. One in particular that I saw as a little one had a crooked leg. But it's amazing how fast he could run when he got scared. But yet, he was enjoying, participating in the Creator's goodness. enjoy walking outside and taking in a deep breath of fresh air that God has provided for us and feeling the wind on my face. This is all God's goodness. This is all God at work. This is all God providing for us. I like to feel the wind, by the way. I don't like too much climate control. I like to be out there where I feel what's going on in this world. It's enjoyable. It's God's good work. You see the seasons change. The spring, the summer, the winter. The winter blizzards come, as they have just recently here. Well, as the wind rips across the countryside, what is happening? Nature is roaring out an expression of the infinite energy of her Creator, as if it can't be contained. This is the motion of the wind. This is God. When the rains come in record amounts, like they did this last May, right here, the hand of God is watering the earth and calling forth life. That's what's going on. The God of infinite life, is who overflows in life, is calling forth life from His earth. The earth responds to the breath of her Creator as He sings the song of life. And she produces. Just even taking the little aspect of our garden this year. The tomato vines luxuriously spreading out their vines in every direction and casually producing fruits of reds and purples and pinks and yellows and greens, even green striped zebras. Juicy fruits for us to enjoy. Sunflowers shooting up to 12 feet tall with their massive flowers tracing the arc of the sun across the sky every single day as they enjoy all of God's goodness in it. Carrots and beets burrowing down into the soil and storing up all those nutrients in their plump roots. This is God's goodness. The fields are exulting. The psalmists sing here. The songs, the singers sang before the ark of the Lord. The fields are exulting and the trees are singing for joy. Do you hear that? Do you see it? You see, the Lord made the heavens. This is our God. Thanks be to God for His incredible work. And God made all of this then to serve people. Mankind. Mankind is the revelation of God in creatures that are made to represent Him and to rule the earth for Him. To be in relationship with Him. I enjoy seeing God's goodness as it's manifested in people. All the immense variety of mankind on the face of this earth is all an expression, an overflowing abundance of the goodness of our God. He didn't just make one little sort of person. In fact, this would be a very boring world if everybody was just like I am. Sometimes we get frustrated about other people's differences. But I'm very thankful that God made a world full of all kinds of people. All kinds of different people with all kinds of different abilities. All kinds of interests and things that they explore as they respond to their Creator. Whether they know it or not, whether they acknowledge Him or not, they are responding to their Creator. They are reflecting Him. They are acting in His presence and by His providence. And it's enjoyable to watch. I enjoy how people can't help but be people and not animals. They even do things like make music. What is this? What would compel us to be music makers, to sing songs, to play instruments, to create all these, to play with sound until we can make it sing? What is it that draws our hearts out to do that? It's our Creator God. And He's constantly showing His goodness and calling forth the earth, and mankind is responding to Him all the time. Thanks be to God for this. I praise God for unbelieving physicists whom I read this year. The scientists who try to press into the deep secrets of the universe and see what it's really made of, and try to codify all the... We want to have the grand unified theory of all the forces of the universe that explains everything. What makes them do that? Even unbelieving, very much unchristian scientists. You know what it is? They are captivated by the beauty of God's creation. And their hearts can't help but say, "Oh, this is fascinating. I can't take my eyes away from it. I have to keep thinking about it. I want to study it more. I want to invent other machines to be able to make me study it more. I'll make super colliders for atoms so that I can see what's going on here. I'll do this." Why? There's beauty there. It calls their hearts. And they enjoy it. And they perceive, again, whether they recognize it or not, they perceive dimensions and aspects of the beauty of our God. They talk about it. And God brings out His praise even through them. I'm grateful for the gift of friendship. How God made mankind not to be like rocks. Not even to be like sea anemones. Or even like the bird, quote-unquote, families. But He made us to be friends. He made us as gifts of love from Him, for Him, to be gifts of love to one another, so that we would reveal an aspect, a glimpse, a flash of His glory to one another, of His infinite personhood. And He made us persons, and made us to be together, and made us in communities, made us to love one another. I'm grateful for that gift. I'm grateful for the gift of your friendship today. I think even of the particular dimension of friendship called families. How God in His wisdom designed a man and a woman to come together for life in covenant love. And they would give themselves for one another. For in that very sacrifice of ourselves, giving all of who we are for the good of someone else, we come to understand even ourselves more. We come to know the beauty and the joy of what it is to be a human being, to be a person. We find our life in losing it in that way. And God made that love to be fruitful in children. And you see all the Creator's wisdom and joy in making children. I love seeing their boundless energy as it speaks of our God. And the fact that they have a hard time sitting still. Because there's so much to do. There's so much to experience. And there really is so much to do and so much to experience in God's good world, because He's so good. And He's giving so much. And He's made them to perceive that and to start doing it. I'm grateful for the joy of children learning to tie their shoes and put their clothes on the right way. I'm grateful for all these good things as God brings us together in families. And we can go all the way through humankind, all the way up to nations. I'm grateful for God's direction, control, providential instantiation of nations. I'm grateful for the United States of America and that God has put us here. I'm grateful that God has made this nation and raised her up. I'm grateful that He has made her prosperous in His kindness to us. One of the reasons God does that, among many others, out of His sheer bountiful goodness, is, as Psalm 105 says, not the section that Asaph quotes from in our text today, but as Psalm 105 verse 44 indicates, as well as other texts like Proverbs 13:21, that He gives the bounty, He gives bounty to sinners for His people's sake. He's made this nation prosperous in part for the good of His people, to bless them, to enable them to enjoy Him and to carry out His mission around the world. In a similar way that God gave the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, in the New Testament era, He has done that throughout history to advance His cause. In the 19th century, I'm grateful for the sun never setting on the British Empire, because through that, God sent missionaries out to all the world. And as that baton, in a sense, not intentionally, but in a sense, was passed off to the United States in the 20th century, becoming, in many respects, the leading nation of the world, God has used that to send His word and to send missionaries and to send people with the resources that they need and all the prosperity that it takes to do that around the world through His good providence in the United States of America. I'm thankful for that. Pardon me. And although that role perhaps is shifting off now from the United States of America to other lands and nations, I still bless God for His kind providence to this land. When we drove home from Michigan on our vacation, driving across all the Midwest, the breadbasket of America, we drove past field after field, acre after acre, of combines bringing in harvests. We have an abundant land. There's almost more than we know what to do with all of it. And that's God's blessing. That is God calling forth goodness from His world. We enjoy a very stable, in human terms, stable government. Reminded that just a few weeks ago in receiving a newsletter from our missionary friend Daniel Eads, who works in Tanzania, as they were having presidential elections in Tanzania. And the letter was sent out to say, pray for peace in Tanzania in a presidential election. You see, they're having democratic elections, but for the first time in a generation, there was actually a close race in Tanzania. The ruling party no longer had dominant control. And what was it producing? Mob violence. Tensions are high. People are starting to react. And they're starting to do things like burn buildings and attack places that they don't like. And yet, you know, I've never been afraid of that in the United States of America. Not that it couldn't happen here, but it's been God's goodness. We've had stability. We've had peace. We've had the peace to pursue productive labor with our hands, pursue constructive exploration with our minds. God has given us to enjoy many wonderful inventions and technological devisings in our nation. Yes, I do praise Him for running water, hot showers. These are gifts of His goodness that we get to enjoy. I praise Him for, and those who know me understand this one, I praise Him for computers. Yes, even computers are good. A gift from God that we can enjoy and utilize for His glory. We have cars, which are very good cars as human inventions go. We have airplanes. We have space exploration, all within this last 100 years or so. We have the discovery of antibiotics that reduce the threat of some diseases, so that when I get a streptococcus infection, whether type A or type B or however it comes into my body, in my throat or in my knee, it's really not a big deal. I can go get some antibiotics and it kills the infection and I live. Whereas a lot of people in the history of the world would have died. What a gift from God. That's His goodness to us. I am amazed to read of new explorations in the world of subatomic particles. And I'm excited about what the Lord will enable us to discover tomorrow in this stunning world that He has made. You see, in His common grace, He lavishes benefits upon us every moment of every day. You simply can't turn anywhere without being confronted with the goodness of God, His steadfast love and faithfulness. But all that I've just mentioned, and that's just the beginning part, all that happens in nature, that's just the beginning of God's wonderful works. Creation is the stage upon which redemption takes place. Or to put it a different way, common grace is completed and perfected by saving grace. And so that's the second part of my sermon today. I want to praise God not as just creator and sustainer of all, but as the redeemer. The psalmist Asaph sang out, "O God of our salvation, You are the God who saves us." And you know what? I think God is answering the prayer that was sung to Him by Asaph and his company roughly 3,100 years ago. They prayed, "Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise." God is saving and delivering and gathering, calling out His people from among the nations. That's the kind of God He is, and that's what He does. Our assembly here today is another instance of that kind of God being that kind of a God. He's the God who entered into a covenant with Abraham, saying, "I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God is keeping that covenant. He has never forgotten that promise. And as Asaph sang to the Lord, praised Him for being the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God, this is what he's doing. Now, how could he keep that covenant when the descendants of Abraham failed so dreadfully to be faithful to him? How could he be a God who is with his people to bless them and to give through them life to the world? We see God continuing to work. 1 Chronicles 17. The Chronicle records for us another covenant that he entered into, another promise that he committed himself to, another relationship with mankind, and that was a covenant with David. He took David as his son, and he promised that of his seed there would be one who would rule in righteousness and peace, who would bring to completion all of God's good promises on earth. And God made that covenant. And the chronicler records this because his whole point in writing 1st and 2nd Chronicles was to give hope to God's people. Hope to them as they had been taken into exile. We learned a lot about that in reading the book of Daniel. And now God had begun to bring them back to the land. But even there, they weren't seeing how this all would work. There was no Davidic king. Where was he? He didn't seem to be showing up on the scene. They never became a cohesive nation. What was going on? What was God doing? But this was written to say, God is still with you as your God. He is faithful to His promises. The full fulfillment of God's commitment was not even in bringing them back to the land after captivity, but in the fullness of time, God brought forth His own Son, born of a virgin, in order to keep all of His covenants. Jesus perfectly fulfilled the Mosaic law, kept every aspect of it, becoming a perfect sacrifice for God's people. Jesus perfectly became that great son of David. Jesus is the great seed of Abraham, even the seed of the woman, through whom all those promises are yea and amen. They are true in Him. And He's bringing that to pass. Jesus died to take away our sin, to defeat the devil. He rose again from the dead and ascended to glory. He reigns today. He inaugurates the new covenant that was prophesied in the Old Testament because the Mosaic covenant didn't bring to completion God's promises. Jesus inaugurates the new covenant and will ultimately bring in the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus reigns. He has sent forth His Spirit today in the world to apply His work of redemption. And there is nothing that can resist His power. He's building His church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, He said. I am so grateful for the work of Jesus Christ today and its reality in the world today. This is not simply a historical event that happened 2,000 years ago that, okay, it's sort of like Alexander the Great. Well, that was really interesting, and he did a lot of interesting things. But my life isn't too impacted today by Alexander the Great. No, this is the living, reigning Son of God and His Spirit accomplishing His purposes, bringing all of history, raising up nations and taking them down, including Britain, including the United States of America, including China or Russia or anybody, to accomplish His purposes. He is building His church. And what we're seeing as you look around here today is the fruit of the Spirit's work. Jesus looking on and seeing the fruit of His labor. Seeing His soul be satisfied in what is being accomplished as His body is built. I'm so grateful for the Church of Jesus Christ in all of its varied manifestations throughout history and across the world. You say, but the Church has a lot of problems. Yes, it does. But it is a manifestation of the glory of God. God is good. And if you see His church with the eyes of faith, you see infinite goodness there. I bless God for the preachers of the Word that He has raised up in this city and across the globe and throughout history. You know, I'm so thankful for even the poorest and the crudest preacher who gives the true gospel. That is grace. That is goodness. Personally, I am blessed beyond belief to have had pastors who have preached to me the Word of God. I thank the Lord for the privilege of prayer that He has given to us today to participate with Him and with His body, the church. I'm grateful for the privilege of baptism, which is a gift of God by the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful for the Lord's Supper. I'm grateful for the wide availability today of the printed scriptures, the Holy Word of God. I bless God today for the forgiveness of our sins. This year, that lesson has come home to me as well again. How God forgives us. You can't read the Psalms that these singers sang before the Ark of the Lord without seeing them come back to rejoicing in the Lord forgives our sins. He remembers that we are dust. He knows who we are. And yet He doesn't deal with us that way. He doesn't keep His anger forever. No, He forgives us. And He does it justly because He took that sin on Himself in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. What a Father. What a God. You see, folks, as we just start walking through the revelation God has made of Himself, start opening our eyes to think about all of His goodness, you begin to see very quickly that there is no God like our God. None. There is Allah, but He cannot be triune. He cannot love. He cannot be just and the justifier of those who believe. Our God is not like the Brahman because He is personal and knowable. He's a God who knows us and brings us into relationship with Himself. And the goal of this world isn't just to escape our individuality and escape our pain but to come into union with Him and to be filled with all of His fullness and to know His joy forever. He gives us life, eternal life, which is His kind of life. He gives it to us because of His love. He's not like man, and man makes a particularly poor God, but we've tried that in Western civilization in recent centuries. Man and his reason, man and his technological capabilities, man and whatever he can do. And yet we don't seem to be solving the problems of the world. We don't seem to be rescuing anyone from death. In fact, we seem to create more of it all the time. Just about the time, close of the 19th century, going into the 20th century, just about the time Western civilization got to be thinking with our technological innovation, the Industrial Revolution, our medical advances, and everything we've got, we're about to bring in the kingdom of God on earth. We ran smack into the 20th century, in which we shed more blood than all the previous centuries combined. We failed as a God. But this is not our God. We worship Jesus Christ as Lord. He's the true God who has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. He deserves glory and strength. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness, the psalmist sang out. Praise Him. All the world ought to worship our God. All nations, ascribe to Him, O clans of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord, Yahweh, the true God, glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. This is our God. I want to leave you with this today as a congregation. Life is good because our God is good. He really is. At the end of the day, fundamentally, evil is not the end of the story. God is good. He is light and there is no darkness in Him. As the psalmist put it, His steadfast love endures forever. It can't do anything else. That's our God. And so, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting.